Lucy Liu, with my girl Drew, Cameron D and Destiny, Charlie's Angels. Come on.
Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. I'm host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. President Obama, he's like the Energizer Bunny. He's still going in Madison. We'll talk about that a little bit later tonight, I'm sure, with my co-host for a very special segment, Make Your Vote Count 2024. That starts at 6 p.m. tonight on this very network with Dan Schaefer, our political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area. That's going to follow the Dom Salvia Show, so you're going to want to keep it locked all afternoon. But right now, folks, I've got one of those independent voters. I thought they were like unicorns, but I've got one live in the flesh with me. And for all of you, of course, folks, you can watch me and all the great guests on YouTube, on the Civic Media's YouTube channel. You can also stream at Maggie Dawn Show on Instagram and Facebook. You can check out all my ramblings and rage tweeting on X, also at Maggie Dawn Show. But my very special independent voter guest is John Burke, president of Trek Bicycles. Welcome, John. Thanks for making time.
Maggie, thanks for having me.
What's it like to be one of these independent voters that we hear so much about?
Well, I think it's great. I also think it's good if you can come to your own conclusions instead of relying on a tribe to tell you what to think. So, I mean, that might work for some people, but for me, I also like to look at the candidates. I like to look at the issues, and, you know, then I can make up my own mind.
Yeah, I think that that's an idea that we all like to say, that we think independently, that we think critically, that we inform ourselves. But it actually requires some commitment to that, some work, right, to allow yourself to have some of those assumptions or groupthink challenge, to be open to new information. Now, John, what I think is really interesting, I could talk to you about Trek bikes for a long time because I'm a long-time road bike person. I have bought Trek bikes my entire life. But I'm not here to talk about bicycling, though we'll have you back to do that sometime too. But what I wanted to talk about was this new book that you've got out, which I just think is so valuable. Because you come at this from a, like, let's check the assumptions at the door perspective. Folks, the name of the new book is called A Bold Plan for America. And you go through and identify what you think are America's 14 biggest problems. And you propose solutions that don't start from a place of party affiliation, right? Like, you don't assume that the party gospel is true. You go from what I call, like, the analytical ground up. Why did you think this book was important to write now?
Well, I think we're, I think we have a lot of frustrated American citizens. And I think we've been dumbed down by campaigns and political spending. And we've had people treat us like kids. And nobody talks about the facts. Very few people talk about the facts, and very few people have an actual plan. We're in the midst of a presidential election right now, and to be honest with you, neither candidate is really addressing the biggest issues we have as a country. So I said, you know what? I think we should step back and let's put the biggest problems that we have out on the table. Let's put all the facts for each one of those problems on the board. And what would the solutions be? And that's why I wrote the book. And I have a really good friend. He's a smart guy. And he's a staunch Republican. And he read the book. He said, I agree with everything in the book. He said, if you get smart people in a room and you put all the facts on the board, 90% of the time people will come to the same conclusion. And we have people ripping this country apart, dividing people in order to win elections instead of making decisions in the best interest of the American people.
Let me ask you a follow-up question to that, because I agree with much of what you're saying. Some of it, I think it's interesting to be in this particular political moment because you talk about putting facts on the board.
Right.
And what I've talked about a few times on the show is I have a rubric for this, because you hear often from people, all politicians lie. They all frame. They all spin. And what I say is, all right, let's just not argue about whether or not that's true, because let's just say it is, because you can always draw issue with some of it. So let's assume that there's some lies out there. I often say to people, I want you to look at what the impact of the lie is and the acuity of the lie and the result that comes from the lie. In other words, not all lies are created equal. John, to what extent do you look at the political landscape now? And yes, I always want to start with good faith criticisms of the blue side of the spectrum, because that's where I more typically vote. And so I want to be always acting in good faith, accept those criticisms. But I think we're at a point in time where, yeah, there might be lies, but the impact, the acuity, and the result from those lies has reached a really existential level. And I want to get into these 14 problems, but let's just put that on the shelf, because I don't think I can have a reasonable policy debate and dig into the facts and dig into the data and the results that we want to seek if I've got somebody that's lying to me about the peaceful transition of power. Are we at a different moment because of the, not just the lying, the acuity, impact, and result of the lies?
We are at a much different moment. This is the lying from Donald Trump is unprecedented in American history, period. And I don't care if you're a Republican, I don't care if you're a Democrat, 2 + 2 = 4. And this country has never seen anyone even close who's run for the presidency with this kind of lying. I mean, let's take a look at history. Dwight Eisenhower, George H.W. Bush, Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan. I mean, you put all those people together and they don't have 10% of the lies of Donald Trump. It's embarrassing. And I've said this, I've voted for a lot of Republicans in my life. People should be, we should all be embarrassed. You know, and I say this, you know, the greatest honor one can have is to be a citizen of the United States. Mm. I mean, just think about that. Are you, I end the book with this line, being worthy of the title citizen of the United States. This is a great country. When you have a man out there who is lying to the magnitude that he is, and that he's dividing the people and tearing down our institutions, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, stop. Yes. And you want to lead the very government that you're tearing down? You want to sit there and rip on people at the Justice Department, the FBI? You want to go in front of a group of leaders in Detroit and say that if Kamala Harris wins, the whole country's going to end up like Detroit? You want to talk about Arnold Palmer? I mean, come on, people.
Yes. Folks, that's John Burke, president of Trek Bicycles, a self-described independent author of his newest book, A Bold Plan for America. So thank you for being really clear about that, because Feel free to use my rubric, liar. It's very handy. It's a lie. What's its impact? What's its acuity? And what sort of results do we actually want to see and get? What does the lie get us? John, that I think it's really hard at this moment for, and I think Kamala Harris has tried to sort of triangulate back into this place where she's trying to open up the Democratic Party tent, right? She's trying to maybe do the thing that you're talking about. Now, doing it in a presidential election with these stakes in this moment, very difficult. But what I see, what I hope, is that by making the tent as welcoming and as big as possible, what the actual message is we can have these debates and discussions, and we should start by putting the facts up on the board for the nation's biggest problems and dig into them. What do you think are the three biggest issues we've got?
Oh, okay. Well,
I know you picked 14, but you have a favorite three. Right. Yeah.
well, let's start out with a couple. I'll start out with the national debt. You have a $35 trillion national debt. unprecedented in American history. And you have two candidates who are out there running for the highest office in the land who are talking about tax cuts. Are you kidding me?
Wait a minute, John. One's talking about tax cuts for households that earn less than $400,000 a year, as well as taxing stock buybacks, increasing the tax rates for the wealthiest 1%. I mean, like, when we talk about the deficit, we got to talk about both revenues and expenditures. I don't think it's fair to talk about a guy that wants to give corporations another, 28 to 15% tax cut without limiting that has no interest. They want to get rid of estate taxes for the ultra wealthy. They already get 20 plus million that they can give to. This is of a different scale. To say they both want tax cuts is not really a fair presentation, is it?
So here's my point. My point is this, is that we have two candidates running for the presidency and neither one of them has a plan to deal with a $35 trillion debt, period.
Well, that's a different point, right? Like, I'll take that rhetorical point. Yes, agreed. They should have one. But to say that they both support tax cuts isn't the full picture,
I didn't
right?
say that. Okay. I didn't say that.
I thought you did, but my apologies, sir.
No. They both are spending their time handing out treats to the American public to try and earn votes. And neither one of them is dealing with the best long-term interest of the people, which is to put our nation's fiscal house in order. The only way you can do that is to raise taxes and cut expenses, period.
Yep.
That's
it. The old credits and debentures, we got to make a balance. I don't believe that you actually have to have a balanced federal budget. There is some level of debt service that is sustainable, but we're approaching sort of these holy cow, and it's getting exponentially bigger.
We're there
every year. Yeah,
we're there.
This is one of the issues that I wish we actually spent more time talking about. So give me an example of some of the treats. Like, because I can name the three off the top of my head for Donald Trump. And I know Kamala Harris is glommed onto one of them, and we'll talk about that in a second. But, like, no taxes on overtime, no taxes on tips, no taxes on Social Security. Well, if you've rigged the NLRB and you've gutted collective bargaining laws so that nobody gets any overtime anymore, like, what are you actually talking about? I don't want to be talking about tips. I think the federal wage, minimum wage, which shouldn't be $7.25, it should be $20 an hour, should be for all workers. So let's get away from tipping because it's terrible and unsustainable and inequitable. And of course, the Social Security argument, it's like, oh, well, we got to do something about that too. Why don't we tax the $140,001 that people make instead of cutting off Social Security tax at that point? Am I in the ballpark, John, or is that all kind of water under the bridge?
No, you need to have an adult conversation, and you need to figure out how you can get the nation's fiscal house in order. And there's a presidential campaign going on right now, a supposed conversation between the candidates and the people. And what should be being discussed are tax increases and spending cuts.
But isn't she talking?
And that is not happening.
She is talking about tax increases. She's talking about tax increases on corporations, the ultra wealthy, estate taxes, the stock buybacks. I mean, those are big revenue generators. I love this conversation, John. I live for these things. Thank you. That is my very special guest. His name is John Burke. He is the president of Trek Bicycles, an independent. I love having these discussions. I hope we're all enjoying it as much as John and I am. My name is Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. We're going to come back with more lively, spicy discussion with John Burke after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network.